Electrics. The head just fell off the microphone a moment ago back there. However, we're here to praise the Lord. Shall we just prepare ourselves by talking to our Lord? Lord Jesus, you are the most wonderful, powerful, major thing in our life is the one and only God, Jesus Christ our Lord. We've come this morning, Lord, to worship you from our heart. We want to be genuine to you, Lord, and it's not a matter of who we see or where we are. It's that you are with us, each one individually. And we love you and thank you, Lord, for taking our sins and iniquity from us even before we committed them. There, Lord, you chose us before the foundation of the world. You put your sons and daughters' name in your Lamb's Book of Life, knowing full well that we're going to let you down. But, Lord, we don't want to do that. We want to be tools in your hand to tell others. That's what you want us to do, is shine the light, let others know that you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Almighty God. Lord, just bless the people that join with us when they listen on the internet and uplift their situation wherever they are. And thank you for doing it, because we believe that if we ask, you will do it. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Welcome, and just ask that you sing with all your heart. Just let the Lord know that you're here. Let us stand and sing number 550, It's a Life Behind the Name.
It's the life behind the name, fate. Amen.
Let's sing number 158, Beyond the Sunset, O Blissful Morning. It's always a lovely feeling when I go to sing this song. It's just so sweet, so nice. Beyond the sunset, O blissful morning, without Savior, it is begun. Praise your name, Lord. It says there, in that fair homeland, we'll know no parting. In other words, you'll be with the Lord all the time, eternity, beyond the sunset, forevermore. What a thing to look forward to. Praise the name. And we'll welcome there when we come. I'd like to welcome David Huxtable and his wife as well. Good to see you there, brother. Good to see Hooky there too. Missed you, Hooky. And everybody else is welcome, and particularly those overseas. In fact, we've even got some new ones going to listen to us on the internet today from Berlin. People that actually stayed with Barbara and I is Andrew and Danny Lavelle. And their parents stayed with the... you fellows, the Mannings. that was a long time ago. And out of interest, when they were with us there in Branson Road, when we were there, there was a major earthquake that we had in our home, and they were there, and they wondered what was happening, because they told us later that they'd never, ever been in an earthquake, ever. And it was a major one. And I just sat back and I told them, "Don't worry about it, Andrew. Danny, don't worry. It's all right. It's all right. She immediately started ringing up her mother in Berlin and to tell her while it was still shaking. And I said, it'll be all right. This is normal for us. And I said, crumbs, more than normal. It was very big. But anyway, all is well. The Lord looked after us. So may the Lord bless Andrew and Danny there in Berlin as they're going to listen in at their time of listening. Let us sing number 675, Years I Spent in Vanity and Pride.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, tearing up my heart with crucified. No.
Amen. I like that. People clapping after singing song. Yes, they're associating with what they're singing about. That is very, very good. The Lord loves you to love what we're singing about Him. It's good to have. Really good. Let's sing 683, Without Him, I Could Do Nothing. And then we'll ask Misty, who's got an item for us to come.
Without Him, I could do nothing. That's true. Without Him, I truly fail. That's true. Without Jesus, oh.
Clap, all right, that's right, you may be seated. Thank you, Missy. You know, I've told a lot of people over the years, you know, whatever your problem is, whatever it is, whatever is upsetting you, costing you time, money, worry, loneliness, whatever it is, the answer is Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what it is. The answer is Jesus Christ. And the problem is, we think it's not him. It's the doctor we've got to see, or it's the bank manager, or it's that family down the road, or, look up. Jesus draweth nigh to you. Thank you, Missy.
Good morning. Yes, as you know, my name is Missy Poihipu. It's my mum and dad at the back there, or in the middle there somewhere. This song that I'm going to do is called Via Dolorosa. Well, in New Zealand, you'll call it Via Dolorosa. It's the road that Jesus took to be on the cross on Calvary. You just close your eyes, listen to the words, and because we already know what Jesus went through, save us from all our sin. So bear with me. It's been years. God's got it. In Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow street, but the crowd pressed in to see the man condemned to die on Calvary. Stripes across his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head, but he bore with every step crowd pressed in to see the man condemned to die on Calvary. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb king, the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk the road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way to Calvary. Chose to walk the road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way to Calvary.
Mercy. We all have our place with the Lord Jesus Christ, acted in different ways, you know, different singers, different people, but the whole thing comes back to praising the Lord Jesus Christ and how it lifts you up. And when you do that, lifting yourself up, you're lifting other people up. Some other people are listening and say, I could sing like that. I'd love to tell somebody about it. All we've got to do is do it. Just let the Lord lead. We've got some notices here. Lunch, as usual, we have. And at 1 p.m. we have a service immediately after that lunch here in this auditorium. And at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, we have a prayer meeting, which you're welcome. I'm going to ask Brother Howard at this time to come and to announce what next weekend Sunday will be like.
About 10 coming down in the van, and Brother Morris and his daughter will be coming into Gisborne on Friday afternoon, and they'll be here through Sunday, going back on Monday. So just encourage you to invite others to come too. Quite a testimony Brother Morris has. God has used him in Niue Island. He's a brother that's greatly respected in Niue Island, because I've been there two or three times. And everybody knows him. They call him Uncle. But he's about 80, 82, I think, 83, somewhere around there. He's almost the Prime Minister of Niue Island, but he didn't want to be. He could have easily been. He's been in government for a long time, but he loves the Lord so much. And he doesn't like politics because of the corruptive nature of politics. So he's given his life to witnessing throughout the whole island. And I've been there a few times. I've had a few meetings with him. He's been with my father there. They've been on television and different times broadcasting across the island. And so he'll be here. We're looking forward to having him. Have great respect for him. He's a real soldier. He's genuine. There's no put on with Brother Morris Tafatu. And we thank God for his life and for his son James, his family, and also a soldier. So we'll be hearing from them on next weekend. We're planning to have a Pacific lunch. Right, Brother Pessa? Taro, leaves, and everything. So that's very good. They're going to have a hangi at his place and bring it over to mix with food, and I pray that it'll be a blessing, because taro means everything to a Pacific Islander. To me, it means nothing. I'd rather have a potato. But you acquire the taste for these things, and you know, we're looking forward to possibly having some Tongans come as well. Brother Pessa has good contacts, and we hope that they can come too and maybe bring some good singing as well. So just remember that next weekend, same meetings, Sunday morning and Sunday afternoons for Brother Morris Tafatu and any of the others that will come. Also, Brother Albert Ruig and his wife, and maybe some others are coming from Tauranga as well. So it'll be nice to see Brother Albert and to contribute to the service as well. So just keep that in mind. Pray about it. May God bless it. Thank you.
Amen. Come with enthusiasm, because it can affect other people. Shall we stand and sing number 245, Will Your Anchor Hold? While we sing that, just think about the words. Will your anchor hold? But with the Lord Jesus Christ, you know it will. Guaranteed.
Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when strong tides and cables strain, will your anchor on the rising tide, you can never quit.
Amen. Shall we just have one more and then Brother Howard will come? It's number 130. We find many people who can't understand. And when we sing, you'll find out what they don't understand.
We find many people who can't understand why we are so happy and free. We've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. It's like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Yes, this is like heaven to me.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Howard.
This is like heaven to me. That's what I'm longing for. We get out of here this afternoon. It won't be too early for me. Who wants to go to heaven? Or maybe you want to stay here. No. We want to be with our Lord, don't we? He's made a way for us to go, so we might as well take advantage of that. In the name of the Lord, praise be to God. We just thank the Lord that we can be in the house of God this morning. And we just pray that His Spirit will come amongst us and help us all to get closer to Him. He's a wonderful Savior. Who loves the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. I love Him too. And He loves you. He loves us all. So we just thank God for that. I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word found in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 22. A few new faces here. God bless you. Lord be with you. And it says, James chapter 1, verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass," or we'd call it a mirror. "For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed." May God just bless the reading of his word. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we come to Thee this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we just thank You for the honor and the privilege that we're able to come to church to redeem the opportunity that's given to us. Lord, if we can come, we ought to come. Let us not, Lord, forsake the assembling of ourselves together and as the manner of some people are, Lord, but more so as we see the day of your day coming. Lord, I just pray you help us all, Lord Jesus. May we enter in to what the Word of God would have to say to us. It's your Word that speaks. You are life, Lord. And we pray that you'll speak to our hearts in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. We just invite everybody and welcome everybody here and those joining with us out on the world, wherever you are. Just remember Andrew and Danny Lavelle there in Berlin. I've been there a couple of times. They love the Lord with all their heart and all their soul. And they'll be joining with us. And I just pray that God will bless them. Good to have Brother David Hux and his wife, Joe. Sorry. Yeah, it's good to have them here too. So we just pray that the Lord will speak to us. I've just entitled this message today, "It Takes More Than Conviction." It takes more than conviction. You say, "I feel convicted." That's good, but that's not all. We want to speak on the subject because it's identified very clearly in the Word of God. And, you know, a great number of people have no concern about eternal things. They do not have a concern about eternal things. But if they died this afternoon, they'd be concerned. Very concerned. But too late. And this is a great tragedy when you think about it. It seems that they have more care about their cats and their dogs than their own soul. Or they care about their living, their house and their possessions and their money or whatever. But when your time comes, the only thing that matters is your soul and your relationship with Jesus Christ. I remember seeing when I was, I saw an interview with the Jews on the streets of Jerusalem. And when I went to Jerusalem, I was rather, to put it mildly, disappointed. There's good things about it, of course. But the Jewish people were actually very worldly. Very worldly. You know, you think, oh, the Jews, the children of God. But not all Israel is Israel, the Bible says. Just because they're in Israel doesn't mean they're an elect Jew. But anyway, while I was there, when I saw the interview, quite a number of them had no regard to Jesus Christ. And some cared not for God at all. Very shocking. Made me shudder. God went to a lot of trouble to send his son to redeem them. Brought him through a virgin birth to come and present himself a spotless lamb for their souls. And they just ignore it. Don't you do that. You take advantage of your opportunity today to get closer to God. For you never know when your time is up. You know, brother and sister, I always think about that. The Bible says, "Lord, teach us to number our days." You see, you're all allocated a certain amount of days on earth. And you will not go over that or under it. So we're going to number our days and say, "Lord, what would you have me do? What am I doing? Am I just a drifter, Lord? Am I just going along hoping?" Don't go along hoping. We want to have this blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And may he help us to all come to that wonderful place. And I just want to say this, when I saw that interview, how they didn't care about God. Some didn't even believe in God. Jesus Christ walked on the very stones that they are walking on. I walked up the very steps that Jesus walked up to go to Caiaphas' house. There's got to be more than walking on the stones. He's got to come into your heart, and you've got to let him in. And so we see it's quite an amazing thing. So we see it's the mercy of God to you and to me. It's the mercy of God to you and to me to be made to think about our soul's salvation. To think about where are you going? Where are you going to spend eternity? Like that brother in Sydney, who remembers the brother in Sydney testified on the street every night. What was his name? You had it right there. The first part was George, what's that?
George Street.
Oh, George Street in Sydney. This old brother, he said, Lord, if you heal me, I'll testify every day. And he testified every day. And he came up to people and had a tract in his pocket. And he stood in the doorway. It's a humble little brother, just a nobody. God likes nobodies. He can use nobodies. And he had this tract, and the salvation tract, and he said, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? That's all he said. And he popped a tract in their pocket, said, read that, went away. To cut a long story short, people used to say, oh, he was a funny old man. Did you see that funny little man come up to you in the night and say, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven and put a tract in your pocket? Do you know God blessed that testimony mightily? Do you know the Navy, the men in the Navy walked down there, they got lost on the street and they banged into this little wee brother? And he testified to this sailor, said, if you died tonight, will you go to heaven? Well, if you don't go to heaven, you're going to hell. Simple as that. There's only two places you can go. So he went away and thought, oh, yeah, right. But when he got back to the boat, it really troubled him. You see, when God speaks, you can't escape. It really got into his heart, and he started to think. He got the chaplain on the ship to speak to him. He gave his life to Christ. He's testified to others on the ship. Cut a long story short, this brother, I wish I could remember his name. Who? What? George who? No, not Mueller. Brother Genor, that's his name. Brother Genor. Cut a long story short, his testimony went around the world and they testified in meetings. One brother got up and he testified. I think it was in a Baptist church and gave the testimony, and a lady came up to him and said, hey, I know what you're talking about. I was there. I had that experience. Go to another place, somebody else came up to him and spoke about the testimony. So he just took a tally and they started to calculate. There are many people that are affected. There was hundreds of thousands, Brother Taz, that came to the Lord through that little old man's testimony. The climax to the testimony is that this Baptist preacher wanted to go and find him. So he got into Sydney there, and he eventually asking questions and found this dear brother, Brother Gaynor, knocked on the door. He opened the door. He said, you're Brother Gaynor? He said, yes. He said, could I speak with you? Yes. And he brought him in, and Brother Gaynor was just a humble little flat, little room. He brought up the cup of tea to him. His hands were shaking. The cup was rattling. He was really stricken in age. Couldn't get out anymore. And he said to the brother, he said, oh, I can't understand what he said, but I've gone out every night and I can't go out anymore to testify to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm just so disappointed that I haven't been able to fulfill my promise to the Lord because I haven't been well enough. And this brother sat down and said to him, because he said, I've had no converts. I've just given out the tract and asked him the question. And when he did that, the brother from the Baptist church said to him, I want to tell you something. We have a record of over 200,000 converts through your ministry. And he just wept. You know, brothers, sometimes you're just a sower. Some are reapers. Some water. But God brings increase. I tell you, what a time of... Then that brother passed away 3 weeks later after that. He went into glory. You can imagine the welcome he got on the streets of glory. He was welcomed into the kingdom of God for his faithfulness. Brother and sister, always tell people about the Lord. You think, oh, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher. Just be honest in your heart and tell them what you've experienced. Go out of your way and tell people. I try and tell people every day. If I meet them and the occasion's right, I'll tell them about the Lord. I know Brother Lee does. So, Brother Lee, your turn might be coming. You might get a testimony come back. I've changed lives. Sorry I digressed. I wasn't going to say all that. I haven't even written it down. But isn't that a wonderful testimony? Let's say praise the Lord. God can do a work that man cannot do. So these people were transformed and came to Christ, made over anew because of a little humble brother. But the Bible says that there are people that get that conviction. But they often have conviction about getting right with God for a short period. And like the man that went into the inn and looked in front of the mirror and he saw who he was, the Bible says. But as soon as he walked out, he forgot what he'd seen. He forgot the man that he had seen. And it's all finished. Forget, it said, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know, if God speaks to you, if you have the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to speak to you, take it on board. Meditate about it. Ask God, Lord, is this the truth? Is this where I'm at? Lord, I want to do something about it. Hallelujah. There will be millions who were once convicted by God. There will be millions of people who were convicted by God and will find themselves in hell. They say, oh, brother, don't do that. Jesus did. Conviction is not enough. It's a very sobering thought. Very terrible when you think about it. It takes more than just a conviction. Now, conviction is important, but it takes more than that. Many hear the call of conviction. There's two in the scriptures I'd like to read. Matthew 22, verse 11. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, called him friend. How camest thou not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. He couldn't answer the Lord back. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then said the king, He said, for many are called. You can feel a call. You can feel a conviction. But for you, are chosen. Now, to me, I don't know about you, but I really think on those things. You know, if Jesus says that, you need to take heed to what he said. And brother and sister, I just want to say this. Never be found speechless on that day. When the Lord asks you a question, don't be speechless. Have a ready answer. Yes, Lord, I received you as my Lord and Savior. I did something about it. I wasn't just convicted about it. Let's make this clear. God was wanting all of them to be there. He wants all to come. He's willing to have those that come to him. God is willing to do that. He wants you to come. It's never at God's ends the problem. He sends a conviction. That's what he does. He has to send it. Otherwise, you're not convicted. No man can come unto me, Jesus said, except my Father draw him. So it takes God to bring conviction. It says here, verse Luke 13:23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive. You know what striving means? That's not sitting on the couch and going to sleep. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For Jesus said, for many, not some, many I say unto you will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now, was it God's problem? No. He died for the sins of the world, not willing that any should perish. He's giving people the opportunity. So why aren't they entering in? Why are they not able to get it? That man at the wedding supper without a wedding garment out on. It's really worth thinking about these things. I do all the time. So our question is, what went wrong? What went wrong? These people are definitely invited, but failed to arrive at their destination in heaven. You see, brother and sister, there's two parts to salvation. Hearing the word of God, you hear it. And the other part is acting upon it. Doing something with it. No, you say, oh, brother, he preached a great sermon. That's good, but what did you do about it? I remember, I told you this before, but I'll say it again. Perry Green from America was here one time, big man. And he was a really good preacher, very good minister. He sat at the double doors after the service, and I was just a kid, I don't know, about 21 or something. And I went out there, and I was trembling to even talk to him. He was a giant of a man, big voice. I came up to him and I plucked up enough courage. And I said, Brother Green. He said, yes. Brother Green, that was a wonderful sermon. You know what he said to me? Looked at me like that and said, then obey it. That's all he said. I was sort of offended. Thought that was a bit rude. But afterwards, I thought about it. He was right. What's the use of a good sermon? And you get convicted about a sermon and do nothing about it. You need to obey what the Word of God says. I'll never forget that. That really spoke to me. So we see this hearing the Word of God and then acting on it. That does the goods. We'll see as we go on. There's so many examples in the Bible of this happening. You know, the rich young ruler, we all know him well. He came running to Jesus. He wasn't sort of, oh, well, if Jesus is here, I'll see him. No, he came running to Jesus and he knelt down, Master, what must I do to be saved? That was a good question. He answered a good question to the right person. And anyone looking on could have easily said, wow, this man means business. He came running, he knelt down, he called a master, he asked the right question. He said, keep the Ten Commandments. He said, Lord, I've done that from my youth. Jesus never argued with him. He probably had been a very good Christian church member. But he was quite wealthy. And Jesus said unto him, that's all very good, but there's one thing you lack, just one. You know, brother and sister, it only takes one thing to mess things up for you. You know what you should be doing, and you're not doing it. Dangerous ground to be walking. And Jesus said, there's one thing thou lackest. Sell all you have and give it to the poor and take up your cross and follow me. The Bible says he turned away sad. If you look out in the foyer, you'll see a big painting of Jesus standing there with the rich young ruler there. Head down, he's looking at the poor, he's looking at Jesus. He couldn't receive it. The Bible says he turned away sad, for he had great possessions. Lost his opportunity. All convicted, came to Jesus, knew it was right what he said. But he was sad and he turned away. You'd never hear of him in the Bible again. Brother and sister, don't you do that. In James chapter 1, verse 22, it says this. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face, natural face, in the glass on the mirror, as we said. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, straightway forgetting what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, hallelujah, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Doesn't get much clearer than that, does it? There was no question that these people are convicted. But they do not go on further to a full repentance and an infilling of the Holy Ghost. They don't do that. There was another man in the Bible that came under real conviction. Listen carefully to this word. This is not my word, this is God's word. It says here in Acts 24:24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, and sent for Paul, and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. So Felix, the Roman governor, has ordered this prisoner out of prison to come preach to him. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, the Bible says Felix trembled. He shook. He was convicted and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. I bet he's regretting that statement to this day. I will call for thee. Felix was not afraid of Paul. He wasn't trembling at Paul, who was a prisoner. Probably had chains on him still. He was the Roman governor. He had nothing to fear with Paul. He wasn't fearful of Paul to cause him to tremble. So why was Felix trembling? Conviction at the word of God. That was his, let me say this. He said, when I have a more convenient season, I'll call for thee. That was his convenient season right then. When God works on you, it's time to move. Not to stumble at the word. He said, would I have a convenient season? That was a convenient season right there. And it was lost forever. God came knocking. He brought the prisoner in to preach. Anointed by the Holy Ghost. And he trembled. He knew it was right. And failed to do anything about it. Paul, go away, please, go away. I can't take this anymore. I'll call you some other time. There's another man in the Bible also. He was a king too, King Agrippa. In Acts 26:26. And he comes before King Agrippa. Now, King Agrippa had a little bit of background, a bit of understanding of the Word of God. And he says in 26, for the king knoweth, Paul says, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. He was speaking straight. He could have lost his head. For this thing was not done in a corner. You know, brother and sister, when God speaks to you, it's clear. He doesn't leave you guessing. Oh, I wonder what that means. No, it's in the open. God's asking you to do something. You need to do it. And King Agrippa, he said, believest thou the prophets, he said to him, Paul was saying. I know that thou believest, Paul said to him. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Let me say it like this, brother and sister. Almost is not good enough. He had a mighty apostle right in front of him. He knew what he was saying was true. He knew the scriptures. Because Paul said these things are not hid from you. Almost is not good enough, my brother and sister. We must be fully persuaded. We sing that song. Almost persuaded. And acting upon the word of God. That has convicted us. And we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the gospel of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. When is that? When God is convicting you. Now. That's the time to move. I know it's the truth. Now is the time. So we must act immediately upon conviction. If our conviction goes deep, we will act upon it immediately. Not a bunch of sensation now. Real conviction. In Luke 19 we read, Verse 8, you all know the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord. Because he was a crook. He'd really cheated people as a tax collector. Lord, the half of my goods I will give to the poor. What a difference from the rich young ruler. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore unto him fourfold. So he took $10 off and came back 40. And Jesus said unto him, This day salvation has come to this house, for so much has he also, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. You know, when Jesus was in town, he was left with a woman that was caught in the act of adultery. They flung her on the ground. Said, Now, Master, the Bible says we are to stone her. What shall we do? Jesus always has the right answer, doesn't he? He said, He that is without sin, cast the first stone. Well, the stones started flying. Where are they going? Onto the ground. Drop, clonk, clonk, clonk. The stones were falling out of their hands because they were convicted. They'd all sinned. And Jesus listened to his words. I believe it was twofold when he came up to her in John 10, 8, verse 10. And when Jesus had lifted himself, and he saw none but the woman, said unto her, Woman, where are thine? Art thou those of thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. Now listen to his answer. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. The doing part. She was forgiven, and she was also instructed to stop doing it. That's how you know when God starts to deal with you. And grace was given with an obligation of obedience to the woman. You know, the two on the road to Emmaus is another lovely story. I love it. They confessed, their hearts burned within them while Jesus was walking next to them. In Luke 24:32. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Many feel the awesome presence of God. They do. As the brothers to Emmaus did. But they never stopped there. They never stopped there. They asked Jesus to come in to them and abide. When you're in the presence of God, you welcome him into your heart. Oh, I felt the awesome presence of God this morning. That's not good enough. He sent his presence to help us. In Luke 24:29. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And Jesus said, If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, then ask what you will. We feel the wonderful convicting presence. Invite him into your heart quickly. Don't delay. Don't procrastinate. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:6, Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Listen, brother, sister, when God comes to you, you are very blessed that he would come to you and convict you and move in your heart. You are very blessed. He may never do that again. So when you feel him, Now's the accepted hour. Now's the day of salvation. Say, Lord, I want you now, before you go, I'm going to grab hold of you. Like Jacob threw on to the angel. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Call ye upon him while he is near. When you feel the presence of God, that's the time to call upon him. I want to read this in Romans, just as we try and draw this to a close. Romans 10, verse 8. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, confess with the mouth, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that wonderful? It's just an offer to the world. To everybody can be saved. Everybody can receive him. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You must confess him to be Lord. You must ask him to come into your heart. Don't just make, oh, I feel that feeling. Oh, yes, I feel that feeling. Brothers and sisters, it's more than just feeling and feeling. It's answering the conviction of the Lord. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's really important you open your mouth and say, Lord, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Why don't we just try that? Let's say it together. Lord, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. He heard you. If you mean it with your heart, say it with your mouth. Something will happen in your heart. Finally, on the day of Pentecost, another example. Therefore, Acts 2:36, therefore let the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. That's conviction. The pricking in the heart is actually conviction. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We want to know what to do. And Peter, just being filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Who wants the gift of the Holy Ghost? Oh, Lord, we want it. For the promises unto you, unto your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Hallelujah. And they that gladly received his word, see, they received the word, were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Praise be to God. Isn't that wonderful? You know, it's really amazing in our reading. It says, one of our readings here, those that come to him, they forget what they are. They forget what was said to them. What did God speak to you today about? You know, I've been in some meetings. Pretty amazing meetings. Big conventions and stuff. People say, oh man, that brother, boy, can preach. Wonderful, the shouting. I couldn't help one day. I turned to this person and said, what are you shouting about? Oh, can't you hear what he's saying? Yes, I said, what did he say? What did he say? You see, people just get enthused. Oh, I like that sort of preaching, you know, but what did it say to your heart? Hearing the word and receiving it and acting upon it. The Bible says they don't act upon it. They deceive themselves. Hearers, but not doers. And deceive yourself. It never deceives God, but deceives you. To hear the word and not actually do anything about it. So, brother and sister, I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts even this morning. Whatsoever he has asked you to do, do it. Like Mary said to the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. A lot of people say, I heard it, but it's more than hearing. It's doing. Do what the Spirit is bidding you to do. And God will bless you. I want us to receive all of his word. You know, I have had the privilege of, as I said, I've been to some pretty big meetings. Not so much in New Zealand, but overseas in Germany and places. And I, you know, hundreds of people. And I have seen people come at the altar, weeping and tears running down and praising the Lord. I'm not saying about any of these people necessarily. But many people weep and cry and walk out the door and do nothing about it. You know what it is? Jesus said, you deceive yourself. There's so many examples I can draw on. People come to church. Brother Lee knows this is the truth. He said, brother, you have no idea how God has brought me to this place. I just know it's God. They rave on about the meeting. And they mean it. Wonderful. This is the word we need. We're coming now. Oh, if I only knew before. They rave on. They mean it. And never saw them again. Now, if I'd said that to somebody, and I never went back, I must think I'm a bit of a loony. To mean it and then, but not do it. You don't have to say it. But you ought to back it up with action. May God bless you. Shall we stand to our feet? It takes more than conviction. Takes more than conviction. I apply this sermon to myself, not to others. So I can apply it to me. We've got to mean what we say and do what we mean. Let us bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we come to thee this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, and we just pray that your word will go deep into our hearts, Lord. We don't want to be hearers only, but doers of the word of God. If we hear it, we want to act upon it. And if you've spoken to our hearts, then, Lord, you're expecting us to do something about it. So, Lord, we commit this word into thy hands. Pray that you'll bless these here and those that are listening elsewhere, that they'll make an effort to do something. Lord, I pray that you'll bless them and keep them, Lord. Give them the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit to do what they've been asked to do. We commit this word to you today, Lord. Pray you'll bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn. We're going to sing the song, Come Thou Fountain, Every Blessing. Come, Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy, never ceasing, pour forth songs of loudest praise. Reach me some melodious measure, sung by flaming tongues above. any matter, feel free to come forward. We'll pray for you.
Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I come. And I hope by thy good mercy save me to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger wandering from
thank you.